Haven't been up here for a long, long, long time. A couple of weeks ago, lay pastor Walter Glenn preached a great sermon on the tongue during the 8:30 service. I'm going to give a similar message to the 11:15 service, and I hope to challenge you as much as he challenged that group. Does anybody here know anybody you think talk too much? Yeah. Has anyone ever told you talk too much? I heard a song, and it goes like this, but I'm not going to try to sing it because that's one gift God didn't give me. It says, you talk too much. You worry me to death. You talk too much. You even worry my pet. You talk too much. You just talk too much. You talk about people that you don't know. You talk about people at the picture show. You just talk. You talk too much. But before we do, let us pray. Lord, we come thanking you for this day. Thank you for grace and mercy. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today. Speak to our hearts that we may become the people of God you're calling us to be. Let us lay aside everything that concerns us and hear what thus says the Lord. And may I decrease and you increase, Lord. Use me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh. Y'all hear my heartbeat? The title of my message is Watch Your Mouth. The Old Testament reading is found in Proverbs 18:21. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. The New Testament scripture is Ephesians 4:25-32. How many of you know that we love to talk? There are talk shows everywhere. Oprah, Jay Leno, all kinds of talk shows. Amen? The average American has 30 conversations a day and will spend one-fifth of his life talking. Did you know if you were a man, you would speak an average of 20,000 words a day? And if you're a woman, you would speak an average of 30,000 words a day. Sometimes men joke about how much we as women like to talk. One guy asked another guy, do you resent your wife has the last word? No, the other guy replied, I'm just glad when she finally gets to it. Now, men, some of you can talk more than some of us women, okay? I hear about those locker room things where you all be talking about what you and did, and some of you haven't done nothing, okay? There was a guy who broke his jaw, and when they x-rayed it, they found a whole motion picture inside of his mouth. No wonder he was always talking. Some of us are born talkers. All of us have had the experience of wishing we had closed our mouths and not said nothing. Who besides me have said, I wish I had kept my big mouth shut? Come on now. Let's tell the truth and shame the devil. The reason we have to say this is because we do not always watch our mouths. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, watch your mouth. Let's turn to our text found in Ephesians 4:29. It's Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. It says, verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slandering, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving just as Christ forgave us. I want to read this passage of scripture to you in the Message translation of the Bible. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word is a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break without cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as Christ forgave you. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Saints, think back over this past week. Would you say that the words that came out of your mouth was helpful at building others up, or did whatever came up came out? Think about it. What do you think of when you hear that someone allowed careless talk to slip out of their mouths? Careless talk could be gossiping, cursing, slandering, put downs, words intended to harm others. We all have a choice with our tongues, people. We can make the choice to be careless, or we can make the choice to encourage and bless one another. Far too often, we use our tongue to destroy. Amen? We gossip about each other. Sure, we do it. Even in the church, people. Have you ever heard someone talking about something and you strained your ear a little bit just to hear what they were saying? Even though they weren't even talking to you. There's just something in us that wants to hear the latest news of what's going on. We know we should not get involved, but because they are not watching their mouths, we feel obligated to listen. Some of us say, I just want to pray for sister, know how to pray for sister so-and-so, a brother so-and-so. And then, some of us are just haters. A sister come into church, and you know she looking good. Oh, not in the church, not us church folks, not Glenville, right? And you say, oh, she thinks she all that. Instead of her, she thinks she all that, a bag of potato chips and crust. Instead of us giving her a compliment, we make the choice to tear her down. Many relationships are destroyed by our tongues, people. There is an old saying that back in my day, we used to say it all the time. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names would never harm me. This is not true, people. Names hurt. People call you stupid, ugly, dumb, and out of your name. Your mother, people, think about it. Your mother, who you think loves you, and she calls you stupid. Someone just you think really cares about you. And she'll say, you just like that old, no good daddy of yours. How does that make you feel? And then your teacher may say, oh, she would never amount to nothing. How does that make you feel? Don't you think it grieves the heart of the Holy Spirit when we curse or belittle one another? How many of you would admit being hurt by a tongue lashing from another person? In the book of James, it talks about the tongue. It states that just a little spark can set a forest on fire. Just a little spark. Just a wrong word said at the wrong time can destroy you, people. A husband and wife can't have a good marriage if they choose to speak to each other any kind of way, saying whatever comes out of their mouth when they feel like saying it. We ought to respect one another. We should not put each other down, curse each other out, or choose to start calling the other person all sorts of names. Some people can call you some names you never heard of. I'm going to tell you about my sister. Thank God he saved her, okay? But, oh, my sister used to call us some names you never heard of. I don't know where she made those names up, but whatever they were, they sound pretty good. And you kind of hurtful, you know. I said, oh, Lord. And when she got saved, I said, Lord, first thing you do is save her mouth, okay? As believers, we are called to grow in Christ, and that includes watching our mouths, especially in the midst of a disagreement. We should be different because we have been given a higher calling in life. Amen? Our tongue is to be used to glorify God. Unwholesome talks destroys families, friendships, and children. It destroys our self-esteem, and it makes for angry people. I've seen it happen so many times. Look at the world now. We got lots of angry people because of what somebody has said to them. Told them that they weren't no good. Told them they were dumb. Told them they were stupid. Told them all kinds of things that hurt them and tore them down. Instead of us building each other up, we're tearing each other down as a black race, people. And don't we, every time I see it, that's all it is on TV. It's us black people killing one another. Let us put a stop to it. Let us put a stop to our tongues right now. Remember, you can't take back what you say. Let's demonstrate Christ-likeness in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces. Yes, even in the church, people. Because sometimes church people could be the most worst people sometimes. I'm sorry, I'm in the church, and I've been in the church here for all my life. But sometimes church people can hurt you, and you wonder why somebody left because of what somebody had said to them. James states in James 1 through 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are tame. And verse 7 states that no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and full of poison. Let's look at our tongues and see if they blue. Only God can tame the tongue. Matthew 12:34 states, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart or what's in you will come out. When we have a problem with our tongue, people, we have a heart problem. A person with a harsh tongue has an angry problem. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person who is critical all the time has a bitter heart. On the flip side of things, a person who is always encouraging and has a happy heart. That sounds like me, amen? A person who speaks gently has a loving heart. A person who speaks truthfully has an honest heart. What kind of heart do you think you have? Think about it, people. With our tongues, we praise our Lord and Savior. And with our tongues, we curse our brothers and sisters who have been made in the image of Jesus Christ. Out of the mouth comes both praise and cursing. This should not be, people. We should live as Christ would have us to live. We should choose our words wisely and always be watching our big mouths. The solution to our tongue problem, first one is, we need a new heart. Amen? In Psalm 51:4, it states, create in me a new heart or a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. A new heart comes from developing a relationship with Jesus Christ and making a decision to allow ourselves to be used by him. As Christian people, we have been born again. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. All that old stuff, you need to throw it away. You've been made new in Christ Jesus. Amen? So the old things that we used to do, those old cursing words, whatever we used to say, we should not be saying them, because every day we should be growing in Christ. Amen? We should have a new walk. We should have a new talk. You know that old song said, looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. So when we come to Christ, that should be what it should be. It's not enough to say simply, you heard people say, I've always been like this. But when are you going to change? God has called us to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. God didn't tell us to accept our past. God told us in Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. When we get rid of the trash in our house, we take it outside and have it hauled away. Amen? We don't hold on to it praying that the Lord going to come and take it out, because we know it would stink up the house, right, if we don't get rid of it. And that's the same thing with the wrong words. The wrong words would stink up the Holy Spirit, and which lives within us, if we don't get rid of them, people. Second, think before you speak. I begin the sermon saying we just talk too much sometimes. James 1:19 states, be quick to listen and slow to speak. I know my son, Tony, he always tells me that I don't listen. But people, I want y'all to pray for me, because that probably is one of my weaknesses. I do have weaknesses, you know. So I want y'all to pray for me that I would be a better listener. I think I do something. I try to tell them what to do before I listen. You know, that's the mother in me, he know it. I love him. Proverbs 18:21 states, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and also, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We should speak blessing into our lives and not cursings. So speak life and encourage one another in the faith. So let's start speaking life into our children. I speak life into my children. I say, Lord, give them, bless them, prosper them, Lord Jesus. Help them to love you and serve you, Lord. I don't want no cursing on my children. I bind up the spirit of witchcraft in my household in the name of Jesus. I claim by faith Satan bound, Satan's good spoil, every high and lofty rebellious start, brought down, destroyed, and defeated, and their minds open clearly to hear the word of God. What kind of heart do you want to have? Not only were we to get rid of some things, we have to replace them with something else. The next part of the verse is Ephesians 4:32. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. It is a choice on our part to be kind, to be compassionate, and to be forgiven. I know when I want to say something sometime, I say, Lord, hush my mouth. These things don't come automatically. We have to take the steps necessary to put them in practice. Amen? Third, ask God for help. Pray. Pray that God will put a guard over your mouth and a watch over your lips. There go my paper. God. You know, people, because before I go to work every day, I pray that God would put a guard over my mouth and a watch over my lips. Because sometimes I think I got road rage. You know, even though I know I should have got up earlier, I should have did, you know, what I'm supposed to do, left a little early. But, you know, I'd be, get out my way. You driving to the sun. You're doing this. And my grandkids say, Grandma, you know you got real great. So we need help, people, right? God is the only one can help us control our tongues. Every one of us is going to have situations in our lives in which we are going to explode in anger. Have you decided what words are going to come out of your mouth when this happens? People are going to get on your nerves, people. And they're going to hurt you and insult you. Somebody is going to let you know that they think you're too skinny. And maybe you might be thinking you're looking good. The first thing they say is, oh, she's too skinny. Or she too fat. She don't need to have on that outfit. She too fat. Or she too old. Or she too whatever. You know they gonna talk about us. Amen. Have you decided what words are going to come up out of your mouth when it happens? Have you submitted to God? Because you are the only one that's on trial in the eyes of God. What's gonna be your comeback? Why is it important to have the right comeback? Because in Ephesians 4:30 it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Is this person's comment really worth you grieving the Holy Spirit, whom you love and adore, and he loves and adores you? The Message Bible puts it this way in Ephesians 4:30. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. The Holy Spirit being with us guarantees that we belong to God, so we know how to control our tongues and encourage one another. When we were saved, that's when the Holy Spirit, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live within us. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. It instructs us of how to live this life down here on earth until Jesus returns. And we are not to bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit by the way we live, people. Get rid of all bitterness, which is resentment, coldness. Bitterness causes all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Get rid of rage and anger, strong talk and slandering and hating on each other. Get rid of malice, a desire to want to get revenge or get even with somebody. How many of us need to work on these things? Come on, let's raise our hand. These things have no place in a Christian's heart. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Instead, we are to be kind and compassionate, loving toward one another, people, forgiving one another as Christ forgave us. How many times are we to forgive one another, people? 70 times 7, right? That means as many times as you have been offended. We've all heard the story of Joseph, found in Genesis, right? Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph came from a dysfunctional family like some of us. His father favored him over his brothers. Joseph had a dream that one day his father and his brothers would one day bow down to him. His brothers became angry about this and sold him to the Midianites. And they sold him to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. Joseph rose to the top while living in Potiphar's house, only to later be falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife. She did this because Joseph refused to have sex with her. Joseph could have become angry and bitter because of this injustice done to him. Instead, he chose to forgive. He stated that they did it for evil, but God did it for good, to save his people from the famine. Joseph was made CEO or Prime Minister of Egypt. How many of you know, even when things look bad, God is working behind the scenes, working everything out. Even though they look bad, God is still working, people. I don't care how it looks, God is still there. Juanita, God is still working, girl. You hear me? You don't have to let your mouth take over in a situation and say things that you will later regret. How many of us regret some of the things we have said? I know I do. Joseph had a right to be angry, but he chose to forgive. He could have called them every name in the book, but he didn't. If he would have, people, he would have missed out on God's best. So let's not miss out on God's best for us. I know I don't want to miss out on God's best. And I'm going to tell you a story. When I was a little girl, I don't know, about maybe I was going to kindergarten, about seven. I wasn't in no kindergarten in the seventh grade. But, back in my day when we went to school, I went to O.W. Holmes down on 105. I am a tar-blooded people. We would go to school, and back then, black kids didn't know what freckles was, okay? Because they would say, "Oh, she got the measles. I'm going to get away from her. She got the measles." So I went home to my dad, my earthly dad, okay? And I said, "Daddy, I'm not going to go back to school because those kids said I got the measles. And I don't want to go back to school no more." So my dad, he took me in his arms, and he said, "I love you, baby. Those are just freckles. Those kids don't know what they're talking about. But you go on back to school and you do what you're supposed to do." And so I say that to say, if my earthly father could comfort me, what more could my heavenly father do? He said, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made." So teenagers, whoever needs some healing from whatever somebody has said to you, take it to the Lord and he will heal you. If my earthly father could heal me, I know that your heavenly father can heal you. So today is a gift, people. Life changes in a minute. So let us speak to each other the way we would want to be spoken to. Let us treat each other the way we would like to be treated. Let our speech be seasoned with salt. Let's use our tongues to glorify God and to build each other up. Don't tell me we can't do it, people. We can do it. We can talk to each other in a respectful way. Husband and wives, parents, we can talk to our kids, not put them down. Let's encourage them. Let's build them up. Because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And I want you to pray and ask God to let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. And remember to watch your mouth. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, this is your time to come up and, make him your Lord. Make him Lord over your life. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow it might